Whether you're handy or all thumbs, you're listening to the Home Improvement Show. CJAD 800.
He is the president. He's the founder. He is the boss. He's the guy in charge. He's calling the shots. His name is Walter Assey from Renovco.
You know, you've never been that charming with me before.
Well, I'm on the way out.
What's
so
going on?
A few kind words before I leave.
Finally.
You were off last Saturday, and we had the guys from Electrical Home Services in, but you had a busy week. It wasn't a week off for you.
No, it wasn't a week off. Mm-hmm. It was a week full of work, out of town projects, but... Mm-hmm. You know what? It is what it is. I'm back here, and I'm ready for you, Ken. So whatever you need, you could throw at me.
I'm fine. Are you ready for the listeners?
Oh, I'm always ready for the
absolutely,
listeners.
Absolutely. You do a great job, and I think they really appreciate having a chance to talk to you with all your experience. And you know how it is. We say it all the time, but sometimes you just need to talk to someone to get a little guidance on how to handle something at home. Right?
100%. Yeah. 100%. And you know what? It's a perfect time because I dedicate this time for them. I know we got a lot of calls after the show and a lot of emails, but I can't always get to them as quickly, so now is the best time.
Absolutely. If you want to talk to Walter now and pick his brain about something, it's free advice for the full hour, 514-790-0800. Going to start in Laval. Is that you, Ken?
Yes. Hi, guys.
Hi. You want to talk about a sump pump?
Correct.
Okay.
So I have a sump pump under my stairs. The base broke. I fixed the base. It works, but when I connect it back to the pipe that it would normally be connected to, that, you know, to drain the water to work on its own, it won't pump any water. So that pipe that goes up the wall, I don't know where it goes, you know, about the house, the sump pump never went off on its own. But now that it's disconnected, I feel a little bit of air coming out of that pipe, but I don't know where to troubleshoot to figure out when I connect everything back together, why it won't push water up there.
I don't think there's something wrong with the pipe. You're saying you're feeling some air coming out of the pipe? Is that what you said?
If I put my hand in front, I can feel a little bit of air.
Okay, do you see any cracks in the pipe itself?
No, it's like it's like I said, it's under the stairs. It goes up into the wall. The sump pump never has gone off in the life that we've owned the house.
Okay. Like, have you tried to trigger the pump yourself?
Yes.
And what happens?
It works. Like if I put a hose to a bucket, yeah, it drains properly. But the minute I put it back onto that pipe, it won't drain.
And it's working like full power. You're not.
Yeah.
Okay.
Made a mess too.
Okay. So did you look at the connection, the coupling between the pump and the pipe, the drain pipe itself?
Well, it was a new connection now because everything broke and I went in and bought new pieces.
Okay. And is it well sealed together?
I thought it was.
Okay. I mean, your best thing is really, honestly, to take it all back apart and then put it back on, especially that the pump is going at full force. And when I say full force, I mean full force because, you know, if it's not working full force, maybe it's not strong enough to pump the water
up. I understand. Like I said, I tested it into a bucket and it was gushing.
You know, even if there's a crack in the pipe, I feel it's more the connection than a crack in the pipe, because if it would have been a crack in the pipe, it would have pumped out and then leaked through the sides.
Exactly, yes.
So it's not really that you can eliminate.
Yeah, there's no leak.
Yeah, so it's probably just a connection between the two. Just take it back apart and, like they say in IT, turn it back off and turn it back on again.
Yeah, sounds good.
How big a mess did you have to deal with?
It was under the stairs, so let it dry.
Right. Do you have good access under the stairs, or it's really like...
I have good access.
Okay, good.
And it's never gone off, like, ever. We've owned the house since 97, and it's never gone off.
So
the only thing is we store stuff under there, and it was crooked. So I grabbed it, and the base had cracked, because I guess when we lean stuff against it, it cracked the base. But I was able to glue it all back together with some JB Weld, and it pumps gloriously, but it just doesn't want to pump up that pipe.
Okay. Well, again, it's just a connection. I think, Ken, once you take it back up and put it back on again, I think you're going to be okay.
All right.
Just make sure it's well sealed and well connected.
Thanks, Ken.
Sounds good. Thank you, guys.
Bye now. We're going to move over to Paul in Dollard. Hi, Paul.
Hi.
Hey, you're on.
Thank you very much. Guys, first of all, great show. Been listening for years, learned so much to take care of my own house by listening to you guys. And Ken, we're going to miss you horribly when you go.
Thank you.
I have an odd problem.
Mm. We're signing we're signing now a petition for an extension. For
well,
circulating
I'm
around.
I'm retired, so I wouldn't want to begrudge Ken any of that.
Oh, I appreciate that. All right. Talk to us about this toilet issue.
It's the original toilets in the house, 42 years old when the house was built. Earlier this week, the tank on top of the toilet cracked.
Mm-hmm.
And so I caught it before I got too much of a mess. Now, I know I can replace the whole toilet pretty easily. But this was a crane toilet, and the color, it's a bone color, and the color now made by most of the companies, including American Standard, which took over from Crane, a little bit off, not quite the same. I'm wondering if there's anywhere that that you would know that sells old or antique toilet parts that might, you know, I might be able to find the tank.
A couple of things. Number one, you can order custom colors. Well, custom colors. And the colors that Crane would have, so let's say it's a bone color, you can order it. It takes just a long time. It takes about maybe 4 to 6 months to get it. So that's number one. Number two, the best place for you really is to go on Marketplace or Kijiji.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of these guys that are renovating their bathroom, they would put old toilets back. And they will sell them for nothing. So if you're lucky, you'll find it. Place that really just sells used toilets like that, I can't really tell you a store or anything like that. I've never heard of one. Just ensure one thing. When you are fixing that toilet, you said it's 30 years old, right?
That's 42 years old.
Oh, even worse.
Yeah.
So the wax seal in that toilet is probably dried up now.
Yeah.
That's going to cause trouble. So when you're doing that, repairing the toilet party, you want to take out that toilet and replace the wax seal.
Right.
Because if not, you're going to have... it's the worst type of damage.
Yeah.
It seeps. You don't see it. It seeps. And then the only time you're going to realize you have a problem is, number one, you're going to start smelling bad smells, and number two, it's when the plywood rots. So now you're sitting on the toilet and you're seeing that the floor is becoming bouncy, and you know, sometimes I've had cases where clients' foot went through the floor because it seeps into small amounts, so you don't get to see the water damage, but it actually is seeping into the plywood and all the wood underneath. So that's important when you do this. I know you're gonna probably just replace the tank if you are lucky and you find it. If not, you can always replace it to the white colors and then eventually replace all the fixtures accordingly, because that's what most people are doing now, right?
Yeah, but I'm trying to keep the I replaced the sinks in the bathroom a couple years ago, and I was able to get a perfect match, but now I'm having trouble.
Well, you'll be surprised what you can find on Marketplace. You know, a lot of people that renovate their old bathrooms, that what they right. do, they take the fixtures, the vanities, and everything else, and they put it up for sale. And you know, if you're lucky, you'll get those bone colors.
That's a great idea.
Okay.
Thank you very much, Alan. No,
you're welcome. Thanks, Paul.
Thank you, Paul, very much. 514-790-0800 is our number here if you want to talk to Walter from Renov Co. I'll throw you a quick one from the text line before we go to traffic and roads. It says, good morning, guys. What causes a whistling noise or a shaking of pipes when the water is turned on? It's a problem for Denise in LaSalle.
It could be caused by either just a washer, or you could have a water hammering problem. So if it's just a washer, you kind of have to zero in which fixture that is causing that whistling noise. So you start it and you start and you close the different fixtures you have, you know, if you zero into the sink. So that's where the problem is. So you start with that. And if that doesn't work, look at the shutoff valve. Sometimes they're partly open, partly closed. So you just open and close the shutoff valve. Sometimes it's a shutoff valve that needs to be replaced as well. So, you know, it's just with these things, it's more like trial and error, to be honest with you.
Right.
But as long as you zero in where the problem is, that becomes the easy part. If that doesn't help, you can always install a water hammer arrestor.
Water hammer arrestor.
That's correct. Okay. It's not difficult and it's not expensive to install.
There you go, Denise. 514-790-0800. If you want to talk to Walter, call now.
You might just need to tighten the thingamajig on the whatchamacallit. This is the Home Improvement Show on CJAD 800.
921. I'm just going to blurt this out, okay? I don't know why. It's a personal note. I'm going to blurt it out. You know one of my projects for when I have a little more free time? I want to I need a new garage floor. I've been putting this off for years.
Ooh. Nice. Do you know what you're going to get? Have you thought about...
What do you recommend?
Epoxy resin is one of my favorite.
Can it withstand our winters and all the salt?
Definitely can. Okay. And that's why it's one of my favorite. The problem, I mean, a lot of times you could do just a regular two-compound epoxy. But the problem with that, it becomes very slippery in the winter.
Mm.
Makes it very loose, your floor, and, you know, when you're coming in with snow and this and that.
So carrying things.
That's right. Especially at your age, we have to be very careful.
It's true.
We don't want you to retire with a hip replacement or anything like that.
Oh, my God.
Right. So, yeah, the epoxy floor, the good thing with it is granulated, so it gives you a bit of traction. Extremely resistant. It repairs, in the preparation, they will actually seal all the cracks and everything else, and it will make the slab look a lot nicer. It's easy to clean as well.
Right.
And it comes in so many varieties of color.
Epoxy.
Just when they prepare it, the first day, get to be messy, so make sure you seal that door.
Got it. All right, I'll keep you posted. We're going to bring in Diane from Pointe Claire. Hi, Diane.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Oh, very good. You're on the radio with Ken and Walter. I'm Ken, that's Walter. And you want to talk to Walter about your bathroom and some insulation?
Yeah, we've always noticed since we bought the house that the bathroom is the hottest room in the summer and the coldest in the winter. But when we had that extreme weather at the end of February, the bathroom was freezing that day that it was so cold.
Oh, boy.
It was really freezing.
Yeah.
Huh. And so I'm wondering, I don't want to tear out the wall, needlessly. So I'm wondering what the problem, if you can tell me, guide me what the problem is, might be.
So one of the issues that you want to, one of the reasons, beside comfort, that you want to really address that is freezing pipes. When you're going to feel the cold in the ambient air, imagine the type of cold that the wall cavity is getting. So in other words, your ambient air is actually subjected to all the heat in the house. So technically, it's way warmer than what a wall cavity would be at. And that is alarming, especially in a bathroom. Okay, the last thing you want is freezing pipes. If the pipes are going to freeze and they burst, and you typically, by the way, it's a bit of a misconception, they don't usually burst the day that is extremely cold.
No.
They burst the day after when the temperature starts going up. So that's one of the main concerns I would have if I was you. Now, having said that, what year construction is your bathroom?
1961.
Okay. So 1961, right off the bat, I have two issues. Number one would be, it used to be 2x4 construction. Fiberglass with paper backing. So an exterior wall technically have no vapor barrier, and you only would have had an R12 max in your walls, which is nowhere near enough. Okay.
The bathroom was renovated two owners before us. So maybe they put in more. Maybe they didn't put in enough.
Okay, so here's the trick. You cannot put in more. Insulation should not be compressed. So if you would have a 2x4, the maximum that you would have been able to put, if it was fiberglass, okay, it's very important what I'm saying. If it would have been fiberglass, the maximum you would have been able to get away with would be about R12. Now, if you need to upgrade that, you might transition into a urethane spray-in insulation, and that will give you up to about R22. So you're almost doubling your R factor, and that would be the best case scenario in your case. In certain cases, 1961, depending on the construction, you know, if it's a woodblock construction, you would have had zero insulation on the walls. It's just a black paper that they schlep into the structure of the house, and that would be the end of that story. The issue with 1961 example type insulation is what most people don't know is fiberglass insulation, when it gets wet or moist or humid, it loses its R factor. So what happens is 1961, you're fine, you're okay. 1970, it starts to get a bit cooler. And then, eventually with time, the more that insulation is getting condensation and it's getting wet and it's getting some type of water damages because, for example, the ceramic is leaking around, then you are continuously losing your R value, which comes to a point where you have all these thermal pockets that are just letting cold in. And that's why you are, going to just feel it more and more as the time goes.
Mm.
So what I'm trying to tell you is it is time for you to upgrade your insulation in your exterior walls, for sure.
Yeah, Diane.
All right. Thanks very much.
You're welcome. Thank you for calling the show. It opens up a line at 514-790-0800. Sam, we're going to sneak you in here before the news. Is that okay?
Yeah, that's fine. I have a quick question.
Yeah, St. Leonard, for a tankless water heater?
Yes. Hi. Good morning, gentlemen.
Morning.
Your show.
Yeah.
I did some renovations in my garage, and I'd like to save some space. I need to change my water heater. In order to do that, I'm debating whether I should put an electric tankless water heater. I'd just like to know what your thoughts are and what your thoughts are is on that, and I'll hang up and listen to you.
Oh, we'll keep you on the line in case he has a question.
All right, no problem.
You don't have to hang up. So, Sam, how many people live in the house?
Four people.
Okay. And is that the only hot water tank you'll have?
Yes. So right now I have a 60-gallon water tank.
So you're probably going to hate it.
So basically the reason I want to do that is to save space so I can add, let's say, a garage sink close by.
Yeah.
But I hear often mixed reviews. And
the issue with tankless water heaters is if you are all taking a shower at the same time or two people are taking a shower, you're just running out of hot water quicker. So if you are, it's usually great for a couple, one person, but when it becomes a family, especially like if you have teenagers or anything like that, it's not really, you wouldn't have a good review to give about it. That's the main issue. Now, if you tell me that there's flexibility in people taking showers, you don't all leave at the same time in the morning, then that, it's just a question of the timing, right? If everybody is coming in and asking for hot water at the same time and someone is doing a laundry load and, the dishwasher is going, it becomes a bit of an issue.
Is there a shower rush hour in your house?
Yeah, that's exactly it. Yeah. If you are, typically where we find success stories and people like it is when it's a couple, they're retired or they don't have the same work schedule, then it's really not an issue and it's actually fabulous to have. But when it becomes too much demand at the same time, that's where you might run into problems.
Mm. What do you think, Sam? All right.
Yeah. Thank you so much for
your
help.
You're welcome. Have a great weekend. 514-790-0800. Another half of the hour ready to go with Walter Assey from Renovco. Call now. Again, the number to talk to Walter and ask him whatever you need to know about repairing your home. 514-790-0800. Hi, it's Ken Connors. Right back to your calls on the Home Improvement Show in just a second, but I'm going to jump in here with a word from John and his team at Electrica Home Services. You know, as we transition from winter to spring, this is really a good time to take a look at your heating and cooling systems. Call them at 514-768-7778. Electrica Home Services can come over, give your system a tune-up, make any adjustments needed so it's working as well as it should, and you're all ready for summer. It'll be here before you know it. In fact, avoid the rush and book them now and get that tune-up. Plus save 15%. Sounds good to me. That's Electrica with a K.ca.
Whether you're handy or all thumbs, you're listening to the Home Improvement Show. CJAD 800.
Welcome back at 514-790-0800 to talk to Walter. Pearl is on the phone from NDG. We're going to get to you in a second, Pearl. But right now we're heading off to Chamonix, Walter, and Joanne wants to talk to you about her attic. Is that right, Joanne?
That's correct, yes.
Go ahead, you're on.
Yes, good morning. We have a contractor coming over to just verify to see if we have enough insulation in our attic. And I'm just wondering, how do you measure the R factor? How are they going to be able to tell if there is enough insulation?
Okay, so I mean, that's pretty standard and easy. Number one would be what you need as an R factor to begin with.
Right.
Okay, so you would need in today's code R50. There is a misconception because a few years ago it used to be R40.
Okay. But
the upgrade to the code now requires an R50 insulation factor. So technically you can even do it yourself. You don't need a professional to do it if you are able to get into the attic and just maybe even the attic hatch. Depending on the year of construction of the home, Joanne, what year construction was your house?
1967.
Okay. So 1967, if there's no insulation that was added to the attic since, the code then, believe it or not, was only R22.
Oh.
Okay. So you will probably need to more than double the amount of insulation you have in your attic. If you would have told me 1990, I would have told you it's R40. You need to add another R10.
Okay.
So you're probably at R22 again, if nobody added insulation since.
Mm-hmm.
And the way you could do that is you just go up there, and if it's bad insulation, what you do is you take a measuring tape and you measure to see the thickness of it.
Oh, okay.
And then you could do the conversion on what a bat insulation equals in inches, and that will tell you exactly how many inches, what's your R value that you have right now.
So the R value is equivalent to the thickness of the insulation. Is that what you're
That is correct. That is exactly it.
Okay.
Having said that, another thing which is very important, you want to take a quick look to see that it's actually nice and even throughout the attic.
It is, because in our attic, we can stand up. It's really like, you know, there's a lot of space.
Okay, so that's not what I'm talking about, though. What I'm talking about, the spread of insulation.
Okay.
Because you could have, in certain areas, adequate coverage, but in areas where, let's say, around your soffits or people did some work or renovated or removed the ceiling in the past, you could have lack of insulation. So let's say you would have, for some crazy reason, R50, which 1961, I don't see how that is possible. Just make sure that R50 is spread all around. So you might need the services of this insulation company in order just to spread the insulation equally. With time, what happens through winds, through the soffit, or people did some work and what have you, insulation might have moved around.
Okay.
That happens more often when you have blown-in insulation versus bat insulation. Bat insulation stays in place. But the problem with bat insulation is the seams. That's where you would find issues. What you really need is for the seams to be stuck together with no gap. If you give
We have blown. We have blown up in our attic.
Okay, so that's great news as far as coverage and insulation and consistency. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
It's bad news if you're renovating downstairs and you want to demolish the ceiling, everything falls on your head, but that's another story, okay? But in this case, you're actually in a good place to start with. What I don't like about the bat, what I kind of like would be a combination sometimes of the two, where you start with bad insulation and then you can blow in on top, just because the bat insulation keeps the insulation in place if you ever open the ceiling down there. But
okay.
In your case, you're not doing any renovations.
No.
So that's good. One of the things that you need to discuss with the insulation guy, because I mean some of these guys have blinders on, so they only look at insulation. you need to ask them about the openings around the soffit to make sure everything is open 360 degrees. You need to ask them to inspect the steel vents that are at the perimeters of your attic, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And then you need to ask them about the insulation in the attic. And you need to ask them about the ventilation in the attic, okay?
Okay.
Plus all the ducts that are going through your attic, like fan ducts and everything else.
So yes.
And ask them one by one. Let them check them one by one. If you don't, they will only look at insulation.
Okay.
In a lot of cases.
I should ask them to check the soffit. And there was another thing you mentioned, Walter. Sorry.
You want to ask them to ensure that the soffit is unblocked.
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 Yes.
So
okay.
With insulation or just unblocked tout court. Like you have to see sunlight 360 degrees. It have to be a continuous at least 2-inch trench around the perimeter of your soffit area.
Okay.
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 So that's number one. Number two, you need to ask them about the ventilation. So the ventilation is what's on your roof.
Yes. Okay.
And by them being up there, they look at how much air circulation is happening in your attic, the temperature in your attic. Okay.
Okay.
The reason these two go hand in hand is because your soffit intake is really what makes the ventilation on your roof work. So if one is not working, you know, the other one becomes useless in a way.
I understand. Okay.
So that's one. And then all the ducting that you have, mechanical ducting, so anything that has to do with bathroom fans or any type of ventilation you could have up there, let them check if it's well connected, well installed, and you have insulated ducts and so on and so forth. Then you'll ask them about the insulation factor that you have.
All right. Thank you so much for the advice.
Good luck, Joanne.
Thanks. Have a nice day, guys.
Bye-bye now.
Bye.
You know what? We're going to sneak in Pearl before the road report here at 9:45. Pearl.
Yes.
You're an NDG, and you want to ask Walter about what you should use to paint your basement floor?
Yeah. I'll tell you what. I would like to take your address and whatever, because I have a lot of more stuff to ask about.
Okay.
So if I go to the office, I'm going to do my explanation to them, and at least they can come, and I need some plumbing, I need some...
You know what? I'm going to put you back on hold, and Jimmy's going to take your information down, okay? Hang on.
Okay.
One second. Very good. Jimmy, you can grab the other line as well before you get to Pearl. 9:43. Walter, can you help Debbie out here before we get to the break?
Sure.
We'd like to renovate our bathroom and have a flush entry to the shower. Can we DIY a Schluter shower? Any issues we should be aware of?
It is not an easy task. First of all, to do anything Schluter, you need to be Schluter certified. Okay.
Say that three times real fast. certified.
Yeah, so even renovators that are not Schluter certified typically have issues.
Right.
So they have to go through a Schluter training, especially the one where you are going to what you call a stepless shower. Some people call it an Italian shower. It requires a lot of technical
savvy know-how.
To be technically savvy, and you've done it multiple times and what have you. So even in our staff, we have guys just that do
specific
Italian shower. Even we have other teams that do Schluter membrane with base, but they don't do the stepless one. So the stepless one is really the more technical and the work wires. So I would not DIY it if I was them, especially not in the shower. You don't want to take that chance.
All right. And there you go, Debbie. Some free advice from Walter Assey from Renovco.
Whether you're handy or all thumbs, you're listening to the Home Improvement Show, CJAD 800.
Walter, get in the car. We're going to Cornwall because we have to talk to Kelly out in Cornwall. Hang on. Kelly?
Hi.
Uh-oh. What's going on in the garage there?
Well, I have a new house to me. It was built in 2014, and it seems in the winter particularly, when I bring my warm car into the garage, I get black mold growing or kind of accumulating on the lower cement portion that goes up the wall 4 inches, say, and then it's bled into the drywall a bit. I've added a ceiling fan and the dehumidifier this winter, which has seem to keep on top of it. I've painted the wall with mold treatment paint and cleaned it prior to that. But my fear is if I ever go away in the winter for any amount of time, that the dehumidifier is not going to keep working because I'm not here to dump it. So I've spoken to many people, and like the home inspector, the garage door people, a contractor, and nobody can kind of clearly tell me what I have to do to address this issue.
All right.
Okay. So number one thing is, you put in a dehumidifier in your garage for what reason?
I guess just to keep the moisture down in hopes of not growing more mold.
Okay. But have you taken the relative humidity in that room prior to doing that?
Have you measured it, I guess? Yeah.
No, I have not measured it, but okay. I guess the reading on the dehumidifier, if you can go by that, it can be up in the 70s.
Okay, so you're saying that your garage is humid. It's 70% relative humidity in the garage.
Right, and I think if I keep my car out, then I don't have the same issue to the same degree with the heat of the car, but you know, I'm not even 100% sure about that.
Well, here's the thing. When you have high relative humidity, it could be due to many reasons, but we're going to go by elimination process. Number one, do you heat the car in the garage in the winter, or it's not heated?
It is not heated.
Okay. So that might be one issue. Okay.
Okay.
When you have an unheated garage and you have the hot air from the house meeting the cold air from the outside, usually you'd have what you call condensation, which can in turn create mold. That's what would explain, if you wish, the higher ratio of humidity that you have in your garage, 70%. Combine that with you coming in with a car that maybe potentially it was wet outside, you bring it in. That adds tremendously, especially if there's snow in the car and what have you. So for you to, what you could do, the easy things, if you wish, is the easy tricks. If your car has snow on it, you know, kind of clean it outside, bring it in as dry as possible. That would be one. Number two, if you can, I don't know for what reason you don't heat the garage, but at least if you can have it at a certain temperature that is, I don't know, acceptable, 12, 15 degrees, whatever, that will also help. One thing that is not going to really help, it's just a waste of money, is when you, and I don't know where this is coming from, people encapsulate the mold or they paint, you know, mold and what have you. What you're doing is you're covering up the mold. Usually the mold, if it's in the drywall, just covering it up is not going to necessarily stop the growth of the mold. You need to go to this, you need to go to the source of the problem. So, and fix it. And that usually even sometimes is even cheaper than doing all of these things that you've mentioned. Number one is you want to check if you have a water leak. Usually if you would have had a water leak, it would have shown, you would have had some type of staining on the drywall. But probably your problem is more related to the fact that you're not heating the garage and there's some condensation that's taking place due to that reason.
That sounds right. I get moisture on the windows of the garage doors. It's a two-car garage. Yeah.
You get what? Sorry?
Moisture
on the windows.
So there you go. So it's the ambient air that you need to zero in, not the structural part. Stop wasting money on that.
Okay.
Once you regulate that, your problem should be taken care of. But do take care of removing the mold that already started, not by painting it, because mold does grow. So if you don't get rid of it, it keeps on growing and multiplying. So, you know, it's a two-pronged thing. Number one, you fix the issue by addressing the ambient air, whether it's through heating the garage or other means. The second one is you get rid of the mold so it doesn't grow and create new colonies.
I have a question for you then with regards to heating the garage. What is my best tactic? like a gas heater up in the ceiling, or is there like just a construction heater or something to buy electrically?
Absolutely not a construction heater. A construction heater is not a permanent, and it's not, if you have a fire, you're not going to be covered under insurance. It's not. A construction heater is probably the worst idea.
Okay, stay away.
Stay away.
Okay, so I need to get the gas one hanging from the ceiling?
Not necessarily. You can even go with something as easy as either those electric heaters that blow hot air or even electric baseboards. Mm-hmm. Again, you are not overdoing it. You're a 2014 construction. That means your garage should be well insulated. So you don't need to go that crazy. What you need is just an electric baseboard, the size the electrician will tell you, or those electric heaters that blow in hot air, and that should work. You don't need much. You need 15 degrees, you're good.
Okay.
You don't need to have it at 21 or anything like that. Just have some heat in there so you can eliminate the condensation aspect of things.
Perfect. Thank you so much for your help.
I want to see a picture of that garage when it's done, Kelly.
Oh, me too. Yeah, great.
Thanks for the call.
See you, bye.
Bye. We're just about out of time. I'm just going to throw this at you. Maybe I'm late to the party on this, and I should have known it earlier. But, I came across some article about real estate and, the resale value of your home. And they always say, make sure the bathroom shows well and the kitchen shows well, right?
That's correct.
But in third place, according to the real estate experts, is the deck. Mm-hmm. The deck is also a big motivating factor in how good your deck looks in terms of selling the house, right? In terms of the way it shows.
100%. So, I mean, it's just the psychological. Where you would spend your best time in a home, usually in your kitchen. And nice summer days, we have such short summers that you need, to have a good outdoor space to enjoy it. So 100%. It also shows a lot about the psyche of the homeowner. You come into a home that the bathroom is full of mold and the kitchen doors are hanging by thread. That maybe is a telltale sign of how is this guy maintaining the rest of the house.
Right, yeah, true. Yeah.
Right? So that's also that how everything plays in. That's really the gist of it.
I'm just thinking, if I redo the kitchen, do I have any money left over for the deck?
No. You're retired now, so you have to really.
Hey, thanks for a great hour, sir.
My pleasure.
That is Walter Assey from Renovco. He'll be back, don't you worry, next Saturday morning at 9 on the Home Improvement Show. Look at Lisa, all ready to go to keep answering calls and texts on the car show. Mandy's going to be in at 11 o'clock with Unwind, the new wine show here. Jimmy, thank you very much. We'll both be back tomorrow morning at 6 o'clock. Don't forget, tomorrow, 6 to 9 with Weekends with Ken, then the Sunday morning trivia show at 9 o'clock. Have yourself a terrific day.